You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Raven, according to this study, what do you think is the best age to get pregnant and have your first child?
I don't want to tell anybody anything. I think there's pros and cons to all different ages. When you're young, your body responds quickly and you get to be young with your children, right? And have fun and play with them. When you're older, maybe you think you're a little bit wiser and better financially set up. So it's hard to say.
Well, you have to give me an age because there's an actual age.
All right.
That, what kind of politics talk was that? Are you running for mayor?
No, I'm just older. And maybe that conversation isn't over in my house. I don't know.
Wait a minute. It's Anna and Raven. Wait a minute.
Don't dive deep on it or anything like that. I'm just saying. No. The door isn't forever closed.
Don't plant the seed in my head. You know, I'll get on the phone right now. But listen, what do you think the age is? The perfect age?
I would probably say like 35 now.
According to a study, the perfect age to have your first child right now is 27 years old.
Okay.
Now, the reason why I find that so interesting is because I had my older daughter, Hayden, at 27 years old.
Right. And that's been a train wreck.
Well, what do you mean a train wreck?
I'm just kidding, obviously.
And there's a lot of science behind it. And the reason why is women are most fertile and have the best chance of getting pregnant in their 20s. And the best quality and the best eggs are usually in your 20s.
Yeah, but I mean, that sounds like you're aliens trying to breed the race for batteries. This is not the Matrix. There's other things to consider.
Well, right. And that's why I find this like bothersome. Dakota, my baby, my toddler, she's 18 months. I had her when I was 38. So I don't like when people call her my midlife crisis baby.
Of course.
Even though she was 100% my midlife crisis baby. But I feel like with her, it's a whole different experience. And actually, I was healthier giving birth to her than I was with Hayden. I had so many complications. And I will never forget when they wrote on my my sheets, like at the doctor's office, it said AMA. And I was like, AMA?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's not my initials. My name is Anna Maria Zapatowski.
Sounds like a bowling association or
right.
something. What is it?
No, advanced maternal age.
Oh.
Over 35.
You're a grandmother.
Yeah. It's right. Like, I'm too old to have kids. And to me, that's crazy because that's when people have kids now.
Yeah. And I think that, again, you just have a different perspective. Like, there was a million wonderful things, I'm sure, going through the pregnancy with your first daughter, and challenging things, too. But you appreciate different things at different parts of your life. And sometimes those seems like the small things early on, and now they seem big to you.
But I like playing the game, or how old will I be when Dakota turns this? Like, when Dakota graduates college, I'm going to be 60 years old. You
right.
know, like when you play that game. And Hayden, I'll only be 50 years old. It's an interesting kind of a balance over there. But the oldest person to ever give birth was 66 years old. So just in case you want to hold out for another two decades, Raven, you might be all right. Dr. Manisha Jutani is Associate Professor of Epidemiology and Infectious Disease at Yale School of Medicine. There's so many things heading into the summer that we're not really sure how to handle because we don't know what's going to be safe and what's not going to be safe.
Right. Before, it seemed like plenty of people were overly cautious once you got them convinced. But now it seems like there's a whole lot of, nope, I'm throwing all caution to the wind, too. So we just want to know what's fact and fiction at this point.
Let's start with the public pools. Is it okay to go swimming in a public pool?
I think the issues with public pools are not so much about the pool itself, right? Everybody knows that there's chlorine and probably the bacteria and viruses that normally we're trying to keep out of a pool would be chlorinated and would go away. The issue is how close people are going to come together in the pool itself and in and around a pool. In various different states, things are trying to be done stepwise, which is let's see how we make it through in the next several weeks. As things look okay, you know, maybe public pools and bigger pools will start opening. What I'd say is if you've got a friend and you can go to a local pool of a friend or something like that, that's certainly safer. If you are looking to go to a public pool and it is open, what I would advise is to try to keep away as much as possible from other people. That's really hard to do with children and teenagers,
right?
But it is the safer way to go.
You can't have any chicken fights. No chicken fights.
Believe me, that's what I've been trying to tell my my son, my 16-year-old son.
And how about like going to the beach in general and going into the ocean? So I know the pool is a little bit different, but I feel like the ocean, you got a lot more room.
Definitely. I mean, ocean, I think, is a lot safer in some ways. There's room to move out, create space, and get away from other people more easily. A lot of the beaches are requiring that we keep further apart in terms of where you keep your towels or your blankets, and I think you can still have a good time and enjoy this summer.
Doctor, I feel like outside, I feel, in my mindset, I'm starting to feel kind of free. So what if I want to take like the kids or the dogs to the park or something like that? You know, can I sit on a park bench? Do I have to, you know, delouse everything before I come in? What's the status going into this? Will the sunlight kill this stuff? I don't know.
So I think you're highlighting one thing, which is that as much as we as experts would like to advise people, we don't have all the answers because we don't know everything there is to know about this virus. In the beginning, people were really afraid of the packages and the benches and anything that we touched.
Right.
And it is no question true, the virus can last for some period of time on objects. However, there are several steps that need to happen when it comes to an object, right? Like, so let's say you cough on your hand and then you touch that hand to the bench. And then you get up and walk away. Somebody else comes and sits down and touches that bench and then goes on to rub their eyes, nose, to like lick their fingers, something like that. That's like four steps that need to happen in order to get infected from an object. If we remember to wash our hands, keep Purell on you when you're touching other things, delousing everything or decontaminating everything that you touch may not be as important. What's more important is that you're consistently washing your hands and trying to avoid touching your face, which is what this whole pandemic started with, right? Those are the messages that people were hearing right in the beginning. The number one way we know that this virus is being transmitted is face-to-face, just talking to other people, singing near other people. And singing and shouting loudly and coughing, that you might not even need to be face-to-face. You might even, you know, be in a church, one behind each other, and that air circulates indoors much more problematically. There's no question, outdoors is better. Outdoors, in sunlight, these are all better places, but they're not completely risk-free.
Sad news, Anna. It's time for you to quit your David Lee Roth cover band.
Oh, good.
It's time for you to quit that.
But I feel like one of the biggest questions right now is like your vacation. What should you still go, I guess? And we're going to get to that coming up next with Anna and Raven. Dr. Manisha Jutani is Associate Professor of Epidemiology and Infectious Disease at Yale School of Medicine. It's Anna and Raven. I have a question as a mom, because I know that there's really no right or wrong answer, but I feel like you probably know more than the average person, you know, for what you do.
Right.
Right. Exactly.
I hope
after all these years.
Yes.
Thank you.
Obviously. So like as a mom, it's like we have to make all these decisions going forward into the summer. Like I have a trip planned for Ocean City, Maryland. We go every single year. There is a press release that they're going to consider and they're most likely going to open up the arcades and the rides before we get there. Would you let your children get on rides or go in an arcade right now if they're wearing their masks, if you have the disinfectant with you, you have your Purell?
Listen, doctor, parent for her.
I need your parent for
her. Right now.
I think that there's a lot of parents that are in my shoes where, like, you don't want to put the kids at risk, but you don't want to withhold them, and you don't really know, like, statistically what to do.
Yeah, and I think this is such a challenge for all of us, quite frankly. We're all trying to navigate these decisions every single day. So outside, I'm always prioritizing the outside things. So you mentioned rides, right? If they are doing things where there can be some distance from people who are standing in lines, and I guess this would be my own personal approach, if you had some wipes with you and you've got young children and you get on the ride and you just wipe down the bar that they're holding like you would maybe a grocery store cart, and they are outside and going up and down on the ride, I think that is a lower risk event. You know, nothing is no risk. It depends on your risk tolerance. If you're an extremely anxious person and you're worried about anything and everything, your best bet is to just stay at home. Keep doing what you're doing. Now, arcade, that is usually inside, you know, sort of dark and dank and not that much circulating air.
The breeding ground.
You know, you guys are terrible on arcades.
I'd be excited about that.
Yeah. I love arcades.
Oh, I love arcades too. But not if it's going to get my kids sick.
I'd be less excited about that. Having said that, a lot of these places that are on the boardwalks, they keep the doors open.
Yes.
Right? The doors are open. Arcade, but the doors are open. If they have the door in the back open and the door in the front open, and you go in, you kind of wipe down the game, you play your one game for your quarter, and you leave. And you're not staying in there for like an hour. Wear your mask, lower risk event.
Dr. Manisha Jutani, Assistant Professor of Epidemiology and Infectious Disease at Yale School of Medicine. Airplane. You get on an airplane, yes or no? What do you think?
Running all your vacations by her right now.
I know. And my personal feeling. This is, again, it's my risk tolerance, okay?
Petri dish. No way.
If I don't need to get on a plane, I'm not going to be getting on a plane right now.
Huh?
Now, having said that, there are people, I've had friends and family, extended people that I know ask me that I have a relative who has been diagnosed with cancer in California and I really want to go visit them. Well, you know what? I mean, that is an important life event. Maybe I'd take the risk and just go do it. But if it's just like to take vacation, well, there's so many beautiful places around us where we can just hop in a car and go there. For my own risk tolerance, I'm not ready to do that because I know that that is an enclosed space with circulating air. I know that the people who sit 6 feet in front of me and 6 feet behind me, that little radius of group of people, I am potentially at risk with. And if I did go, I would, again, wipe down the tray tables in front of me. I would try to get a window seat if I could. I would go to the bathroom before I got on that plane and try not to stand in the bathroom line on the plane.
Diapers.
And, you know, hydrate myself, right, but not too much so that I have to get up.
No, right. I heard you, doctor. I heard you. Anna is shallow and she should not be talking about planes. I heard you. Totally. And I am with you.
Thank you so much for taking the time this morning. We really do appreciate
it. Great information,
thanks
really.
Thanks for having me.
I have to tread lightly here and not sound like I'm being judgy. It's Anna and Raven.
Oh, good luck with that.
What were you named after? 1-800-330-9999. There's a post on Reddit that's getting a lot of traction because it's a soon-to-be mom. She's pregnant. And mm-hmm. she's asking the public what they think of their idea for a name for their unborn son, which is always a bad idea.
Right.
You should never tell anybody the name of your child.
Don't ask anybody's input. It's like if you're throwing a party. Don't ask your friends for requests. They're going to ask for the worst music.
Right. So the name is Cube. Cube. C-U-B-E.
Like Cube. Ice Cube?
Not really.
Kind of.
She explains that her husband and both his parents are legitimately math geniuses.
Okay.
So the name is a mathematical reference, and they're all Rubik's Cube experts.
All right. I mean, if you're a mathematical genius, being a Rubik's Cube expert feels like it's just,
goes hand in hand.
Yeah, it's just easy. I mean, that's one of the things that comes with it. So they don't get an award for that part, but okay.
I don't know. I don't think it's the worst
name.
No,
it's difficult for you because you're a math idiot. You're not a math genius. You see what I'm saying?
It's hurtful, Raven.
But if you're a math genius, like everybody in the math genius meeting can solve the Rubik's Cube. Everybody.
But Cube. Like, what do you think of the name? What were you named after, Raven?
Well, I didn't know because, you know, as an American guy, like most of us, you know, we don't have like a big meaning behind the name or anything like that unless it's passed down through the family. So I've looked it up here and it says it is an angelicized form of the Latin given name Justinus, because my first name is Justin, my real name, if you will. And it says meaning just, fair, or righteous, which, of course, when you think of me.
That's exactly what I said.
Just, fair, and righteous.
But you weren't named, like, there wasn't, like, a family member.
No, there was
member.
No other member before me that had that name. I'm the first, girl. I broke the mold.
So I'm Anna Maria.
And they probably decided to not name anybody that after me.
So I always feel like, I mean, I love my name. I was named after my grandmother.
Okay.
But
who was probably named after her grandmother.
Well, right.
Who's named after her grandmother.
Five of my cousins.
Yeah.
My first cousins. Are also Anna Maria?
Yeah.
Yeah. So two of them are in Italy. Three of them are here in
it's
America.
It's the best at weddings.
We're
you don't know
Anna
who
Maria.
You're talking to across the room.
We all have the same name. We're all Anna. Like and it's nice, but like I actually broke tradition when I named my daughter Hayden.
Right.
And when I tell this story now, I kind of like get my face gets flustered because I'm like, are people going to judge me?
Mm.
And I asked Hayden the other day, I go, what do you like your name? And she's like, yeah, I love my name. And it made me feel better because she was named after Hayden Panettiere,
yeah,
who was an actress. Now, you're probably wondering, why would I name her after that actress?
You really loved that show.
Heroes. Remember the show Heroes?
No, I never watched it.
There was a show called Heroes back when I was pregnant with Hayden, and she played the indestructible cheerleader named Claire.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, pregnant, eating ice cream on the couch to my husband, I want our daughter to be indestructible too.
Yeah, an indestructible cheerleader, right.
Right, but we didn't like the name Claire.
Right.
So we named it Hayden after the actress that played her.
Good idea.
Weird. 1-800-330-9999. What were you named after? Expectant parents put a post up on Reddit asking the public what they thought of the name Cube for their unborn son because the dad is a mathematical genius and figured the cube has a lot of mathematical references and because he's a genius when it comes to the Rubik's Cube.
And then they got slaughtered online because that's what we do on the internet.
Right. Santa and Raven, you should never ask anybody for opinion about a baby's name because they'll always have one. It'll never be good. Even my daughter Hayden, I always say I named her after a celebrity and after a character in a show. So I kind of always back off because I feel like people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones, you know?
Yeah, <it'd> be wise, right.
We asked on our Facebook page, what were you named after? Chanel wrote, my mom was wearing a Chanel shirt in the hospital when she gave birth.
Seems like a strange usage of a Chanel shirt, but
right.
Okay.
Yep.
Right.
I mean, that shirt costs like $600.
I mean, why is that one? Do you feel like she made it to a Chanel store and only could buy off the clearance rack? And then so she bought the shirt that was 7 times her normal size.
But then you
figured
wear
I'll
it.
Wear it during pregnancy.
So yeah, maybe.
Right.
Stacy wrote, my sister's name is Jessica. She was named after baby Jessica that fell down the well.
I remember that.
Yep. And my son's
the
name.
The whole world was ready for that.
But who gets named after baby Jessica?
I don't know.
My son's name is Link, after the main character from Zelda.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Maggie wrote, my parents named me Magenta, but everyone calls me Maggie, and they named me after their first dog that they loved. Do you think it's weird to be named after a dog?
I love my dog, okay?
But would you... I wouldn't
name a child Barkley just because it sounds like a dog's name. But my other dog's name is Baxter, and I like Baxter.
But would you name somebody, like, one day you're going to look your son in the eye, and he's going to be like, what was I named after?
Yeah.
You're like, Daddy had a puppy named Baxter.
And I loved him so much. I did nearly name Baxter after Randall on This Is Us.
Oh.
So it goes both ways. Sometimes you name the dog for the person that you miss.
1-800.
Sterling K. Brown. He's awesome.
1-800-330-9999. It's Ann and Raven. What were you named after?
I was named after the movie Casablanca. My mother was in the hospital. I'm 72 years old now, and I was one of the first people to be called Rick. Richard is my real name, but Rick has been with me for 72 years.
I mean, that's nice, at least, because still it's
classic.
Somewhat, yeah, it's classic. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it was Humphrey Bogart in Casablanca when he had a little swagger, and I've had the swagger, and I could like he was.
Good for you, my friend.
Thank you.
Have a great morning.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
And Raven, what were you named for?
Yeah, I was named after my mother's childhood horse, Lacey. And she always loved that horse and loved the horse's name. So when I was born, she named me in honor of her.
So it's interesting you bring that up because we were talking about being named after a dog. But if you're named after a different animal, does that make a difference?
I think so. I think there's a little more pride with an animal that's not a dog.
Yeah.
I mean, but there's more love with a dog, I'll tell you right now.
But a horse is like majestic. Being named after a
you know
doggy.
What? That's all right. You know what? You know what else is majestic? Kings. All right. I'll slap a king in the face because I'm American and I love my dog.
So what does that have to do with being named after a king?
I'm just saying, don't tear on dogs.
Okay. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your name?
Well, my name is Norma Jean, but I was named
Norma
after
Jean.
Marilyn Monroe.
Yes, that's nice. I like Norma Jean. Norma Jean is nice.
So if you don't
know, sweet name.
Norma Jean is Marilyn Monroe's real name.
I think we explained
beautiful.
That.
But I think people don't know that. A lot of people don't know
it's
that.
It's in the song. Are you serious?
It doesn't matter. Norma Jean, how did you feel about being named after Marilyn Monroe?
People don't know.
See?
Like, people really don't know. I would say, like, 1 in 10, if that. No, so...
See?
Really?
Yeah.
This is 100% on you guys. I like it. At first, I thought it was like a little, it sounded like kind of country to me, but now I'm fully supportive of it. I've embraced it. I love it.
I think it's a throwback name. It feels like a different generation, but I think
yeah.
with that, there certain comes a certain sort of mystique and eloquence with it. I like that.
Thank you. I'm feeling better about myself already.
See that?
Do people normally just call you Norma, or do they call you full Norma Jean?
When people don't really know me and like they see it on paper, they call me Norma. But I my name's Norma Jean, so you know, people who know me call me like both names together.
And her friends at the bar, they call her Norm. Whenever she walks
well,
in,
everyone knows her name. So
right.
There you go. Yeah. best friend.
Oh, that's nice of you to say.
It's Anna and Raven. Happy National Best Friends Day. What did you get me?
I didn't get you anything.
What?
Did you get me anything?
Yeah, but it's not coming until July 11th because it's coming from China.
You're lying.
I did.
Come on.
Yeah. So here's the thing. The average American has about 16 friends in general.
Okay.
Right? So if you count all the people that you consider to be your friend, 16 seems to be the average.
All right.
But only 5 of them would be considered your best friend.
Those are the only ones that qualify.
Yeah.
Right.
Because according to research, you shouldn't have more than 5 best friends, which I find difficult because I've told you, I'm
they're
very
all
lucky.
Your best friends. Anna says everybody's her best friend.
I have 11 best friends.
Oh, come on.
I do. I believe that. I have 11 best friends.
It's a basketball team.
That's a basketball team is 5.
No, and then there's 5 on the bench.
Exactly.
Right? So you've got, it's a basketball team.
Right.
Is that what you do with your best friends? You got 5 that are in the starting lineup,
right,
and another 5 that are on the bench? Is
right.
that it?
Like if Danielle's having a bad day, I put her on the bench and I'll bring in somebody else, right. You know?
Right. All right, Angela, you're up. Get out there.
Right.
Wow.
2% of people say they have no friends. And you want to know what's really sad about that?
What's that?
That may cause them never to breed.
People.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to know why?
I mean, what a great word for people, right?
To breed. Yeah. To actually have offspring.
Yeah, no, I heard
children.
What you said. Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right.
I mean, there's a little bit more to it than that, but okay.
You ready to learn something?
Please.
Okay. Dr. Robert Seyfarth, he's a primatologist. He's a monkey expert. That's
okay.
what he is.
Right, right.
And he said this.
Friendships are ubiquitous, and they make a huge difference in horses, chimpanzees, elephants, baboons, dolphins. These bonds lead to alliances and allow a group of tightly bonded males to take over a group of females and reproduce with them.
And then
I took a nap.
Right. But did you hear the last part, Raven?
What?
Were you paying attention?
They took over a pride.
Allow a group of tightly bonded males to take over a group of females and reproduce with them.
Research has shown that the male animals in the jungle, the more popular you are, the more offspring you have. And they looked at the animals that didn't have friends, and they didn't reproduce.
I mean, it's sad that animals are out there that don't have any friends. I'll be that animal's friend. All right.
Well, then you're going to have to reproduce
I'll
with
put them.
Them
in. No.
Oh.
No. No. I didn't hear that in right. what he said right there.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess there's something to be said about that. I currently have, if I count, probably like 4 best friends.
Four best friends.
I have many friends or acquaintances, and then I have friends, people that I definitely enjoy time with when I get that. But life is busy, you know, so you don't always get that time. So these 4 friends are friends of convenience also, right? Like our schedules meld up enough where we get to still spend time together.
45% of people find it very difficult to make new friends after the age of 35. And
sure.
I understand that because I think at that point you become so involved in your life, it's hard to do that.
You're also jaded. You've learned a lot about people and you have some mistrust.
Do you consider your wife your best friend?
I do in many ways. And then I also consider my dog my best friend in other ways.
Is your 2 dogs in the top 4 that you just said? Are
no,
they?
No, they're not in my top 4 because there's a guarantee. My dog is always a guarantee. He doesn't even need a spot.
All right, good, because I didn't want to talk about that breeding thing again, and it was going to get really uncomfortable right there. CNN teamed up with Sesame Street this past Saturday for a special on how do you talk to your children about racism and to explain, you know, what's going on with the protests. It's Anna and Raven.
Because after all, if there's an uncomfortable situation for you to have a conversation about, it's best done by somebody who's furry and 4 feet tall.
3 feet tall. 3 feet tall.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. This is Elmo with his dad.
Racism? What's that?
Racism is when people treat other people unfairly because of the way they look or the color of their skin.
Elmo doesn't understand, Daddy. Elmo has friends with different types of skin. Oh, and fur, too.
I know, Elmo, but not all streets are like Sesame Street.
That's true.
That is true.
That
man.
Is the truth.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was watching this with my daughters, and Dakota's 18 months. She doesn't know what's going on.
Right, right. But, she said, hey, mine!
Right, mine! Mine! No! The beach is not yours, Dakota. Okay. Yeah. But Hayden, my 11-year-old, it's interesting because obviously she understands what's going on. We've had this conversation a lot of times, and she was
actually, sees the news, right?
Yeah, she was really engrossed in it, and I thought that it was a really nice and smart move to do this because it's hard for parents to explain.
It's interesting too, is that you know Hayden is 11, so we think Sesame Street probably too young for her, but the lessons are still there,
of course.
And you can get, and it's like getting it from an old friend. So that makes sense,
absolutely. Which brings me to my next point.
Okay.
There are so many times that I wish that Elmo and his dad could just explain everything to my children.
Step in and take care of things.
Oh, my gosh.
Right.
So Hayden was supposed to, during this time period of the pandemic, was supposed to watch the puberty video at school. Right? And they were so excited because it was scheduled for April 3rd. They send out the email in February.
So everybody's supposed to go at once.
Right. It was boys and girls.
That way nobody talks about it beforehand.
No. Right. But it's like the warning was sent. And I was like, all right, well, at least you'll watch the video.
And that should handle everything.
That should take care of everything.
That should handle it. And I'll see you when you're married.
Right. And sadly, because of the school being canceled,
there was a lot of questions.
There was a follow-up from the nurse. Yeah. And the nurse was like, you guys are going to have to watch the video on your own with your children. Like,
and you watched it together.
Yes.
Yes. It was quite a situation for you.
We had to pause it so many times to explain. And all I kept thinking was when I was watching the special this weekend, I'm like, where was Elmo?
Right.
When I had to do that.
Could have handled everything.
What else do you wish Elmo would teach your kids?
I know that whenever Alicia's, my wife's, grandparents call and there's a problem with their internet, it takes about 3 to 4 hours on the phone to get them to set back up their Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
They're never describing what it is that they're actually looking at. I don't know how they do it. It's like you're speaking a different language. So if Elmo could help out with that, that would be good.
Fantastic.
If you've ever tried to build an entertainment center from IKEA.
Right.
Like, I mean, IKEA, you get the thing that's got 4, 5, 6 steps, you're fine. You can handle that, right? But if there's 30 pages in the booklet, like, that's going to be a problem.
Call Elmo.
You know you're definitely going to use the wrong screw or the wrong attachment in the wrong place and have to take the whole damn thing apart again to fix it.
How are you going to get mad at Elmo when he's telling you how to do it? He's going to lay it out step by step.
Right.
You know, he's going to tell you the letter of the day. You're going to move on with your life.
And if I figure if he can do the Wi-Fi and he can do the puberty and he can do the IKEA entertainment center and the and all those different, and racism, of course, then he easily should be able to handle a complete rebuild on a 78 Cutlass Classic.
What?
Easily.
What's a Cutlass Classic?
I mean, just get on YouTube. You can find out ways about oil change. Elmo could walk us right through this entire engine rebuild.
I don't know if that's in his wheelhouse.
Get to work on it, Elmo.
Okay.
Oh, who are the people in your neighborhood? In your neighborhood, in your neighborhood. Say, who are the people in your neighborhood? The people that you meet each day.
It's Anna and Raven. We know that there's a lot of strange people in your neighborhood. But a lot of times you think that they're normal until they check in on the Next Door app and then you read what they posted and you think to yourself, oh.
That crazy person lives 3 doors from me.
Yeah, if you're not familiar with the Nextdoor app, it's a website you go, you sign up, and it's really specific to your real local community. It's by area code, zip code, and you can just post whatever you need. A lot of times it's great.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not so great.
Sometimes when I see something so nuts, I try and remember the address so that when I drive by, I go, oh.
That's who lives there.
That's that house, huh? I'll be like, oh, yeah, okay.
So here's what Raven and I like to do. When I get one that's especially crazy, I print it out and then we act it out for you.
Of course.
Yep. Jamie wrote, peacock on the run.
What?
Does anyone own a peacock near McAllister Avenue? A peacock wandered into our yard and doesn't seem to be scared of me.
Peacocks are never scared of anybody, man. They're aggressive.
No way peacocks are wild around here. You're right. For all the years that we lived in this area, you never noticed the random peacocks wandering around?
I've never seen them crossing the Merritt or anything. Nope, never seen them. Julia chimes in. I saw a post on air recently about someone spotting a peacock. He was admiring himself in a store window, LOL. Wonder if it's an escaped pet. Somebody tried to do that joke.
What if when you see a peacock and it's looking at itself in a mirror, right? Like looking at the reflection in a store.
Right.
Do you think that that peacock is looking for sales? Or do you think he's just admiring how beautiful his feathers are?
I think birds see another bird in a window and they want to attack it. That's what I think, personally.
Sarah wrote, it was in my yard a couple weeks ago.
Donna chimes in again.
Again?
Oh, Sarah's always got peacocks in her yard.
Oh, she always gets the peacocks. Mary chimes in. This is probably the other half of the pair that was haunting our area several weeks ago.
Oh.
Wait a minute.
Haunting.
the peacocks are haunting your area, and there was a pair of them. No one thinks that's weird.
If you heard that outside at night, let's be honest, that would be kind of scary.
Hmm.
Bobby responds, oh, sure, wait till the inspectors hear about that.
That's because Linda wrote, I'll foster it until we find the owner.
I mean, what, Linda?
How do you foster a peacock? Right. Like, what are you going to lure it into your house with?
I mean, I get that you want to make the planet a better place, but this seems very questionable, especially if you were living in my condo complex.
Right. Like, imagine all of a sudden your neighbor is like, I'm going to foster this peacock that randomly came onto our yard.
Oh, you're such a nice person. I can't sleep.
And if you take that peacock in, where do you house the peacock? Like, do you give it its own bedroom?
Right.
Or does it, you can't leave it
the
like
peacock
in the garage.
Just goes wherever it wants to, too.
Right.
Danielle says, there's a set of them, and they wander the neighborhood. Not sure if they're feral or have a family, but would leave him be.
Aww.
Oh, it's a roving peacock gang.
Wait a minute.
Oh, it's a peacock
that
gang.
That makes it sad if they have a family and now they're lost from their family. Like, where are their little peacock babies?
This is how the fostering starts now. Have you seen this?
Then Rosemary chimes in last. She goes, they can just fly like turkeys.
Wait a minute. Pretty sure
is that,
neither
no,
of them
can
fly.
Wait a minute. Turkeys can fly short distance.
They get a running roll and then they go like 4 feet. That's not really flight. That's like a long jump.
Can peacocks fly? I just Googled.
No.
They can fly despite their massive trains.
No.
A peacock's tail feather can reach up to 6 feet long and makes up 60% of its body length.
But if you're flying 6 inches above the ground, you're basically, you know, you're the spruce goose of birds.
That's what
you're
it
not
says.
Really it's a flight. A flight. You know, flightful bird.
They just can't fly far, which is good to know if you're the one fostering it in your house.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every weekday morning, a couple joins us. They let us know what their problem is, and then you judge who's right. Marcus and Fiona. Fiona, let's start with you. What's going on?
we have these wonderful neighbors, and they have a dog, and we're all very close. But last week, the dog breaks through their electric fence and just rips up our flower beds, just rips it to shreds. I had never seen anything like that before, and they were so apologetic, and we're friends, and they're very sweet, and I know the dog didn't mean it, but I really think that they should pay because we have to repair everything, and I think we should ask them if they'll contribute.
Yeah, I mean, flowers, they're not, I mean, they don't give them away, right? Depending on what you got planted in there, definitely landscaping can certainly be pricey. What's your side of this, Marcus?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so exactly what she said, you know, there was no malice there. It was totally, it was a fluke situation. These are great people. We've lived next to them for years, and we've got a great relationship with them, and it was an accident. We can't go knock on their door and ask them to pay for this. You know, it's their dog. It was totally harmless, you know?
I agree.
I mean, the dog's not a murderer, but I mean, if the kid hit a baseball, let's say one of your neighbor's kids hit a baseball and went through your window, that kid didn't intend to ruin your life either. He just broke your window. It's an accident.
Mm-hmm. Has this ever happened before with their dog?
No.
This was an isolated incident. You know, this is not a normal occurrence by any means.
Well, I see what you're saying. A mistake is a mistake. You know, if it happened just once, what we do is ask our audience what they think. And they may agree with you, Marcus, that it seems kind of petty, especially if you have a good relationship, to say, well, okay, will you pay us now for this? But they may see Fiona's side, too. Well, their dog did break the electric fence and did cause damage, and they should be responsible to cover the cost of that. Do you both agree to listen to what our audience has to say?
Yeah.
We do.
Great. Call or text. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
They have a good relationship with the neighbors. They always have. So when their dog got loose, escaped their electric fence, came into their yard and destroyed the flower beds, and they were so apologetic, Marcus was like, no big deal, guys. Don't worry about it.
Hmm.
But Fiona's like, yeah, but that cost a lot of money, and he destroyed it, and they should be paying to replace those flowers.
Not only is it the money that you spent to get the flowers, of course, but it's the time that you put into it. The apology is nice, but a little something extra? That would be the way to go, I think.
Would you ask for that money? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court with Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
Whose side am I on? I think the neighbor, if they were really, really good friends, I'm an avid gardener. I think that the neighbor should actually come over and say, hey, you know what? I know this costs you a lot of money. Let me give you some cash towards making your garden right again.
Yeah, I happen to agree with you. Thank you for the call. I disagree with the fact that we're good friends. If you're close, somebody close would have said something. If you're agreeable neighbors, it's not the same thing as being close. Courtesy says that they should have offered to pay. And if not, hey, help a brother out.
Yeah, but they apologized. They probably
I'm sorry. I ran into your car. Oh, I'm sorry I hit your kid with on his bicycle.
That's a little different.
I'm sorry.
Running over a child is different than a dog ripping up a rose bush.
Trash is all over your front yard, but you should pick it up on your own.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court with Anna and Raven. So Fiona and Marcus have these neighbors that are friends of theirs. They're, mm-hmm. you know, they have a good relationship. Their dog got loose, got run right through the electric fence, destroyed their flower beds. So Marcus was like, hey, no problem. Like, it's no big deal. We'll take care of it. But Fiona's like, no, they should pay for it. Like, yeah. It costs a lot of money to plant these bushes and they've been destroyed. But he says, why are we going to ruin that relationship over some flowers? It doesn't make sense.
But here's the thing, right? So they obviously, between the two of them, Fiona and Marcus, they have a different vision of what it is to ruin that relationship. For hers, she's going to resent the fact that she didn't ask them for anything and they didn't offer anything. You can already hear that in her. Whereas with him, he's just ready to just take it on the chin and move on.
Yeah, more texts say his side, but if it happens again, I would ask them to pay.
Happened again, I'd be over there tearing up their flower garden myself in the dog prone position.
Who said
you like
you
that?
On?
You like that, huh?
1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven.
Hi, good morning. I'm on the white side, so the neighbor's toothpaste. You know why? Because I have good neighbors too, and I scratch on the door with my car, and they were good onto that point. They start arguing with me, and yelling at me. And I was like apologizing and saying sorry, and I ended up paying $450 for a liter scratch. So it doesn't matter if they're good or not. They should pay for it.
Things could change right away. Right. If you pay for it, yep, then there's no question. Then nobody can be angry. Thank you for the call. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
Hi, my name is Christina. I'm on the side probably of don't ask them for money. I grow flowers at wholesale, so I know how much they cost. And it is expensive, but if they're your neighbors and you guys look out for each other, maybe when they go away, you're looking at their house, making sure everything's okay. You know, that kind of friendship, you really can't put a price on, especially if you can trust them. So I would just, this is an isolated incident, I would just replant the flowers, take the high road, and handle it gracefully.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on this morning?
You know, normally I would be on the side of the wife, but with COVID, I wonder with half pay and people having pay cuts, if it might be a little uncomfortable for some people to handle that.
Yeah, it's true. You bring up a good point. You don't know what people's situation is right now.
Thank you for the call. Have a good morning.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Fiona, our audience agreed with you. Regardless of how good the relationship is, saying, hey, listen, this costs a certain amount of money. Would you mind reimbursing us? Is not such a bad idea.
I'd pay if our dog or our bed. So right. Great.
I think most people would. It's if you got into a car accident or if something rolled into their vehicle across the street. I mean, anything could happen. Of course, you keep the relationship good by doing the right thing. So asking for it instead of resenting them over the years, they probably would have just said, yeah, we'd rather give you the $20.
I'm surprised. I have to be honest that they didn't offer. I do think it's a little bit petty.
Mm-hmm.
So, Marcus, I do understand where you're coming from. I probably would have just let it go, but are you all right with this going forward?
Yeah, I mean, if that's the decision is, that's what we're going to do. So what's going to happen?
Okay. If you have a problem too, send an email. CouplesCourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Hi, this is Joe.
Joe, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Joe.
All right, Joe, we got $600 on the line right now. All you have to do is answer these questions as quickly as you can. I'm going to bring Raven back in. I'm going to ask him the same 5 pop culture questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it still goes to Raven. But if you beat him today, $600 is yours. He beats you, we throw another $100 in the pot. You ready to play?
Yes.
Number one, the NBA will return with a 22-team format and will be stationed at the ESPN grounds at Disney World. What does ESPN stand for?
Entertainment and Sports Programming Network.
Number two, Sesame Street and CNN co-hosted a TV special about racism for kids and families this past weekend. In what state will you find Sesame Place, the original Sesame Street theme park?
Pennsylvania.
Number three, Sephora shoppers can now convert beauty insider points into charitable donations. Who is the parent company of Sephora?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Number four, YouTube hosted a four-hour Dear Class of 2020 special with guest performances and speeches with everyone from the Obamas to Taylor Swift. One viral moment was when this artist, one of the original members of Destiny's Child, gave an inspirational commencement address. Who was that?
I don't know.
And number five, Lady Gaga's Chromatica album has gone to number one on the charts, making it her sixth number one album. Gaga, a.k.a. Mother Monster, was the first Western artist who gave her fan base an official name. What is her fan base's name?
I don't know that either.
All right, Joe. Here's the thing. They were hard questions. I'm going to wave Raven back in.
How do you do?
Joe got 2 out of 5.
2 out of 5 is not too good. Let's see how I do.
Number one, the NBA. The NBA will return with a 22-team format and be stationed at the ESPN grounds at Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
What does ESPN stand for?
Entertainment Sports Programming Network.
I'll take it. Yep. Number two, Sesame Street and CNN co-hosted a TV special about racism for kids and families this past weekend. In what state will you find Sesame Place, the original Sesame Street theme park?
California?
No, the original Sesame Street theme park is in Pennsylvania. California will have one opening next spring. All right.
Pennsylvania, it's one of those ones that's got in. So Hershey, right? Who else has one? Nickelodeon? Where's Nickelodeon?
I don't know. It's certainly not in Pennsylvania.
No?
I don't think so.
I think that's where parks go when they're not allowed into Florida.
Well, I think it's funny because, you know, I've been to Sesame Street so many places. I'm surprised you didn't remember that.
Yeah.
All right. Number three, Sephora shoppers can now convert Beauty Insider points into charitable donations. Who is the parent company of Sephora?
Amazon.
No, Louis Vuitton.
Oh, come on.
Number four. You guys are not. These are hard questions, though. Number four. Wow. YouTube hosted a four-hour Dear Class of 2020 special with guest performances and speeches with everyone from the Obamas to Taylor Swift. One viral moment was when this artist, one of the original members of Destiny's Child, gave an inspirational commencement address. Who was it?
Beyonce, of course.
Beyonce is
come
correct.
On.
You guys are tied. Number five, Lady Gaga's Chromatica album has gone to number one on the charts, making it her sixth number one album.
Nice.
Gaga, a.k.a. Mother Monster,
mm-hmm.
was the first Western artist who gave her fan base an official name. What's that name?
Lady Gaga, you're talking about?
Yeah, what's the name of the fan base?
Her Little Monsters.
Little Monsters is correct.
Woo! 3! I got it.
All right, that was close, but
that's what
Joe,
I needed.
He took you down 3-2 this morning.
He's Joe, and I can't be Raven.
Better luck next time.
We are going to hook you up with your own Anna and Raven t-shirt, though. Hold on the line.
Sweet shirt.
We're going to have another shot for you to beat Raven coming up tomorrow morning, 8:10 a.m. $700 in the pot.
It's getting crazy now.
Make sure you're listening to the cheat sheet. The first question at noon, second question at 5:30. $700 can be yours. Just make sure you're studying tonight.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.